Thank you for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. So this is a creeping bentgrass putting green. Many of you are probably aware that creeping bentgrass is one of the most widely used species on putting greens, and that's largely because of its stoloniferous growth habit, which provides a smooth and uniform putting surface, and it's also able to be maintained at low heights of cuts, which is well liked by both superintendents and golfers. This is a case of a creeping bentgrass putting green that has been severely infiltrated by Poa annua, commonly regarded as a weed on golf courses. As you can see, it's not very visually appealing, and aside from that, I mentioned creeping bentgrass has a stoloniferous growth habit, where Poa annua has more of a bunch type, kind of puffy growth habit. So as far as a smooth putting surface, that definitely affects ball roll. Aside from that, managing two species at once in this case would be very difficult, as they have different fertility and mowing height requirements. So in a case as severe as this, the superintendent has to make a choice of if they're going to switch their management practices to try to maintain a Poa annua green, or if they want to keep their creeping bentgrass green, but it's very difficult to eliminate or eradicate Poa annua. In either case of what to do about Poa annua, one of the largest issues that superintendents face is its susceptibility to extreme temperatures. This is a case of heat stress on Poa annua, which you can see as far as golfers trying to putt on the green is going to be an issue since there is no grass. More important in the northeastern United States, however, is susceptibility to winter kill, which commonly occurs in four ways: desiccation, crown hydration, anoxia, and direct low temperature kill. This occurs sporadically, which is an issue because it's hard to predict winter kill. There's really no way that you can do that. So in the 2013-14 and 14-15 winter seasons, the United States Golf Association reported that 80% of superintendents they surveyed did report having winter kill. The issue at hand is that when the snow melts and superintendents find that they have experienced winter kill, there's a small window to establish turf. For those of you who are golfers, you might have heard of the Masters Tournament, which is held in Augusta, Georgia each April, very early on. And Augusta at that time is experiencing nice warm temperatures. However, golfers in State College, Pennsylvania, and Michigan want to get out and play, and they don't really care what the temperature is. So average temperatures in State College at that time are below 10 degrees Celsius in late March, early April. And optimal seeding conditions for creeping bentgrass are generally regarded to be between 15 and 30 degrees Celsius. So in these early months, after you've discovered that winter kill is a problem and you want to reseed your greens, the temperature is not a good time to be out there trying to reclaim a green. So creeping bentgrass is often seeded into the bare areas. As you mentioned, it's one of the most widely used species. So for superintendents who are trying to maintain creeping bentgrass, this is an opportunity for them to reclaim some of the area that Poa annua may have taken over. And in the case of a Poa annua green being wiped out, Poa annua seed is hard to come by, so creeping bentgrass is the most logical choice. Little information is known about the influence of temperature on germination because most germination studies are done at optimal conditions. So bentgrass germination at lower temperatures may result in quicker establishment, allowing superintendents to reclaim their green and golfers to get out and play earlier in the season. So the objective of this study is to elucidate the influence of temperature on germination of various bentgrass cultivars. So we performed an in vitro study assessing 74 samples of bentgrass. 100 seeds of each sample were counted and placed on square blotter paper, watered with 5 milliliters of deionized water, placed in a square petri dish, sealed with parafilm, and placed in an incubator. And our incubators were set to two temperature regimes. The first was at optimal conditions as per the Association of Official Seed Analysts, which is 25 degrees C for 8 hours in light, followed by 15 degrees C for 16 hours a day in the dark. And our low temperature treatment was at 10 degrees C in complete darkness. So these were the 74 samples we had. Altogether, it came from 34 cultivars of bentgrass. As you can see, there's some samples that we had multiples of. For example, 007, we had 9 samples. And there's a number of others up there where we had multiple samples per cultivar to look at. I'll also note that we used Vesper and Villa bentgrass, which are of the velvets. So the study was a completely randomized design with three replications. For the optimal treatment, seeds were counted on the 7th and 28th days of incubation. And for the low temperature treatment, were counted every day for the first 18 days and every 3 days following that until the 28th day. Incubators were re-randomized and the study was repeated. And all data were analyzed using SAS, mixed procedure, and Fisher's protected LSD for mean separation. So this is generally what the plates looked like on the 7th day of germination at optimal temperatures. You can see many of them have germinated early on. We used forceps to count and remove these as they were using water and perhaps could desiccate and negatively affect other seeds that hadn't had a chance to germinate. This was also an opportunity to water if needed. And then the plates were sealed and placed back in the incubator. So to set up the data, there was an interaction between trials 1 and 2. So in the essence of time, at the moment, I'm only going to talk about data from trial 1, but we will incorporate data from trial 2 farther along. So under optimal conditions, 50 of the 74 cultivars had the highest germination and fell into a single grouping, meaning 50 of them performed the same at optimal. There were 21 cultivars that fell into a middle grouping between 69 and 91% germination, and three cultivars that were in the lowest grouping, germinating below 68% at optimal. So as I mentioned, there were 74 samples of bentgrass tested, which was too much to put on one screen, so I'm going to be presenting them in groups of 37 just to make it easier to look at. So you'll remember I said the top 50 germinating cultivars were the same. So this is the top 37, and you can see they all germinated above 95% and look very similar. The lower half of the 37, many of them are still above 95, and if you look, the bottom 24 start to drop, with Vesper, Armor, and Villa germinating below 70%. So this is germination at 10 degrees C. Mean separation was actually so great that this ran through the alphabet twice in SAS. So the letters would make your head spin if I put them up. So we will talk about some statistics, but for now, just look at the height of the bars. So you'll remember I said the first 50 cultivars germinated statistically the same at optimal. So this was the first screen of optimal temperatures you all saw. They were all above 95%. When you drop the temperature to 10 degrees, there is a lot of variation among cultivars. And to follow, this is the second 37. Still a lot of variation and no particular pattern. So as I mentioned, the statistics were a bit crazy to look at all 74 cultivars together. So what we did, there are 30 samples that at optimal conditions in trial 1 and trial 2 had the highest germination and fell in the same category. And we felt because these cultivars germinated the same at optimal, it's fair to compare them at lower heights, or lower temperatures, excuse me, because samples that aren't germinating equally at optimal likely would germinate differently at low temperatures. So this is what we'll be looking at in the next few slides. So this is in trial 1, the 30 cultivars that I just talked about. You can see Pure Select has high germination, reaching nearly 80%. There's a few other cultivars that reach about 40 or above, and the others are ranging from about 5 to 40. And in trial 2, we see a similar trend. Some of the mean separations are a little bit different, but ultimately, Pure Select is still the highest, shortly followed by about five others, and the rest separate lower. I also thought it was interesting to look at variation in germination within cultivars. So I mentioned earlier I had 9 samples of 007, all with different lot numbers. So even within 007, at optimal conditions, they're germinating similarly, although there are differences. And at low temperatures, there are also differences separating out. So 30 cultivars had similar percent germination at optimal conditions. And at 10 degrees, Pure Select had the highest germination, followed by a Crystal Blue Link sample, which was equal to a Pen A4 sample, followed by a Pen A4 sample and a Crystal Blue Link sample. So what this tells us in conclusion, germination differences among cultivars do exist. Dropping the temperature can be influenced by the cultivar that's being used. And highest germinating cultivars under optimal conditions are not always the highest germinating at low temperatures. For example, we had some samples that were not in that highest grouping at optimal conditions, but at 10C they were following into the B letter grouping. So we hope that turf grass managers can use this information to select cultivars for seeding in early spring, although they will have to consider other factors in their selection, such as price, availability, or other desirable characteristics. So if anyone's interested on how this relates to the field, I'll be presenting a poster tomorrow from 4 to 6. I'd encourage you to stop by number 704 and take a look at that. And I'd like to thank the students and staff of the Kaminsky Lab, Penn State's College of Agricultural Sciences, and the Pennsylvania Turfgrass Council for their help. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for questions. Sorry, Doug, when you clap.
Yes? Yes, so the question was, why didn't we have light in the cooler? The reason for this is we really wanted to focus on the influence of temperature, so if we left light out of it, that just wasn't going to be a factor in the performance of the cultivars.
Do you think that would alter the standard control, though, 25 degrees?
It definitely might. I mean, AOSA recommends light for a reason, but that would be something to look into moving forward.
Speaker.